This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in. It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson alongside Mark Melusis. We got you covered here in the early window of action on Saturday. We are in the vortex where you don't know what day, what time, what numerical day it is on the calendar right now in between Christmas and New Year's. But we appreciate you being with us. We've got action to look at all day long. Pumped to have the Moose along for the ride here. We've got the Military Bowl right now, 7:48 to go in the first half. ECU is up 3-0. More on that in a moment. But we've got a game about to kick off, Mark. Clemson and Penn State, which if you told us in the preseason we'd get a bowl game between Clemson and Penn State, we were thinking, all right, one of these teams can win the national title. They seemed like both the best potential teams in their leagues. Instead, they're now playing in what we would determine to be a meaningless bowl in the Pinstripe Bowl there in Yankee Stadium. Right now, we've got the Tigers laying 2.5, totals 47.5. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, I'd probably lean more Penn State than Clemson, but I mean, you know, it's, you're right. I mean, Clemson was getting, first off, Dustin, great to work with you. I enjoy your work, and it's going to be a fun next 3 hours filling in for and working with you on this Saturday. And you're right. I woke up this morning. I actually thought today was Friday, and I all of a sudden realized it was Saturday. So you're right. We're in that vortex where you're not exactly sure what day it is, what's going on. You know, as you get past Christmas and we're careening toward New Year's in 2026, I mean, really a tale of really two disappointing seasons. Franklin fired by Penn State. Obviously, they've got their new head coach in Campbell that's going to lead that program moving forward. But the hopes was that Penn State coming into the season was going to be a national title contender or potentially, you know, get and win a national championship this year. And Clemson, Dustin, you know this better than anybody, was all a buzz before the start of the season that this was going to be a huge bounce back year for Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. And, you know, they were massively disappointing. It's fun. You know, I've been to the Pinstripe Bowl on a couple of occasions, seeing a football game at Yankee Stadium. It's different, but clearly two programs that are expecting bigger things in 26 than what happened in 25.
Yeah, and playing at Yankee Stadium, maybe there'll be a little bit of hype for Penn State there. But coming into the year, I'm a Miami fan. And even I said, you know what, Clemson's winning the ACC. Clemson returned everybody. Clemson had all the production back, and you look, it makes sense because the players who are not playing in this game, Mark, they're going to the NFL. Peter Woods going to be a stud at the next level on the interior line. Yep. They've got Avion Terrell, AJ Terrell's brother at corner. He's opted out for the draft. Antonio Williams, an explosive receiver. They've got an injury to Bryant Wesco. They're missing a lot, but you know what they do have? They do have Cade Klubnik. They do have guys that have been through it before. They have enough talent there that I do think Clemson's the side. I laid the 2.5 with the Tigers, but that's more of a sweat to have during the show. I don't know if we weren't doing this show, if I'd be betting on the Pinstripe Bowl right now. Looking at Penn State, the one reason why, if you want to back them, I understand it. You got Terry Smith, final game as the head coach. He wants to go out with a bang. He's Mr. Nittany Lion. He wants to take advantage of his opportunity. Ethan Grunkmeyer got a little bit better as he got more experience here, and maybe some of those opt-outs and guys missing on the Clemson defense, specifically in the back end, maybe that allows Penn State to move the football, but they're missing a bunch of offensive linemen. This game, if you have a good feeling either way, congratulations to you. Take the side that you like, because this one could go absolutely either direction, and they're showing a shot of it right now. It looks miserably cold up there in the northeast right now, Mark.
Yeah, it's terrible. We had 6 to 8 inches of snow last night. So it is, I'm up in Stamford, Connecticut, Dustin. So it was a disaster. I filled in afternoons on WFAN yesterday, and I was driving home. It took me 2 hours to get home. It's brutally cold outside. So it's about right around 20 degrees. But yeah, we got hit with a big time snowstorm that began last night, tailed off about 5-6 o'clock this morning. So not exactly what you want to see, especially if you're watching Penn State and Clemson. We'll go mano a mano in this one. Yeah. You're on Clemson. I'm on Penn State today. I'm going to take the Nittany Lions for the final game for their head coach, plus the 2.5 at Yankee Stadium.
I'll tell you, looking at the weather, definitely favors Penn State. There's a lot of snow being shoveled to the sidelines there at Monument Park. All right, so some trends coming into this game. Penn State just 4-8 against spread on the year. Clemson only 5-7 against the spread. Penn State 9-3 to the over. Clemson 8-4 to the under. Terry Smith went 4-2 against spread, 4-2 to the over. Dabo is 13-7 covering the number in bowl games. Dabo also 9-3 against the spread, 10-2 to the under in December bowls, which we'll call them the meaningless bowls. They're not New Year's Day. When you're at Clemson and you've built it to the level Dabo has, if you're not playing New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, the season is a failure from their perspective. Let's go to the military bowl real quick and update. There was a turnover. I believe ECU just got the ball back. They have it. They're up 3-0. 3-0. 6:27 to go in the first half. It's now Pitt laying 4.5, despite not scoring a point yet today. And that total has dropped all the way down to 33.5 in game. I'm on the under. I bet under 53 at this point at 33.5.
You're looking good.
I feel good about it. But at the same time, if this thing dips under like 30, you have to consider a potential over at some point, but I may just sit on my bed and win it. But ECU and Pitt, Narduzzi and company going against a banged up Pirate squad, Mark, and you and I were discussing this a little bit before the show. This is kind of emblematic of what's wrong with college football right now. This is supposed to be a showcase for East Carolina, for these kids to have their moment against an ACC school. But with the transfer portal and NIL, you've got everyone who matters on ECU opting out of this game. And because of that, they're not going to be able to do much offensively in this matchup.
Yeah, it's a shame, and Dustin, you know, you and I are old enough to remember, and you don't even have to be that old, before the college football playoffs came into effect, of what the bowl season was. And I understand the human element and the voting and the polls and people complaining, strength of schedule, and in terms of determining the national champion. And I get, and I love the fact that it's determined on the field, but you know, the trickle down effect is what happens in these bowl games that are, if you're not part of the college football playoff, you ran through the guys that are opting out in terms of Clemson, who decide not to play in the Pinstripe Bowl. You're seeing it time and time again to where it's almost like a roadmap, Dustin. You got to figure out exactly who is playing, who's not playing, who's opting out. The transfer portal's coming January 2nd. You know, before we hopped on the airwaves, they were talking about how the Pitt Panther quarterback has decided to stay with the program, is going to be loyal to the program despite potentially having opportunities to go out there and transfer someplace else. I mean, that's where college football is right now, and there needs to be some sort of adjustment, because some of these bowl games, unfortunately, you like some of the names, but you know, when you get down to the game, it doesn't lead to a good thing to watch or a competitive game.
No, this is the list right here. These are the notes. These are everyone opting out of this game right here. This is just one game, Mark. So for Pitt, they had plenty of guys opt out. Dez Reed, their stud running back who dealt with injuries. I really like him as a player. They have a bunch of other guys that are missing because of injuries, but ECU, Caton Kauser, who already transferred from Michigan State once to ECU, had a really good year. And now it's like, okay, I have an opportunity to go back up, to go to a Power Four school, potentially be in the mix for a conference title, a playoff berth, all of that, all the glory that these guys want to play for. So he's in the portal. They also lost their tight end. They also lost their second leading receiver. They also lost their leading rusher, London Montgomery, who opted out of this game. There's a lot of guys. And at quarterback, you know, we didn't know what we were going to see. We're seeing Chasten Ditta right now. He's 5-13, 46 yards, but he's a freshman. He's the future. This is what you should do with these bowl scenarios. When you lose your starter, play the young guys, give them some experience. So maybe there's a little less nerves next year, but there was thought they would use Mike Wright, a sixth-year guy who's been at Vandy, Mississippi State, Northwestern. I think they're doing the right thing by starting the kid.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be in this spot in your ECU, all you can do, and if you're treated as a minor league system, is continue to develop guys and unfortunately lose them when someone else comes calling. But I want to throw this idea by you when it comes to these bowl games, because it's been really hard to win from a betting perspective, because even if you have good information, that doesn't mean you're going to win the bet depending on when that information comes out. And if things go the way that information you think is going to go, I heard Rick Neuheisel, former head coach in college football, SiriusXM analyst as well, CBS. And he had an idea. Take these bowl games. Instead of playing them now, this is your out of conference at the beginning of the season. So the first 2-3 weeks of the season, when these teams are playing out of conference games, instead of, let's say, it's Georgia and Notre Dame in week 1 to open the season, it's now the Peach Bowl. That is your Peach Bowl going forward. Clemson and Penn State want to play out of conference. The Pinstripe Bowl is now going to be week 1 or 2 of the season, and you hype up the bowl games, you get all the accolades, the buildup, the pomp and circumstance, and that's where these bowl games belong, because based on this new college football calendar, I'm not sure this really works with how the sport is operating right now.
Yeah, you know what? I love the idea, Dustin. And I didn't hear, and we were talking about a little bit about it off the air before we hit the airwaves this afternoon on VSiN. And you said, I'm going to throw this idea by Neuheisel. I think that's a great idea. First and foremost, you're also going to bring people into attendance as well, because sometimes you're watching some of these games and there's nobody there, right? If the two teams don't travel. So that's kind of every time you're getting into these bowl games, they want to have programs that where their fan bases do travel. If they don't, that's an issue as well. So if you do it before the start of the year, it brings a little bit of meaning back to these bowl games, to where right now they are an afterthought, especially after the season comes to an end, where you have programs that are getting gutted, guys deciding not to play, want to go out there and enter the transfer portal, or maybe going out there declaring for the NFL draft. They're not going. And so you have no, so for the program, you're not getting a representative for what they were during the course of the regular season. Now, all of a sudden, if you play it before the start of the year and you're having these lists of 15, 16 bowl games, they're going to be well represented. Guys are going to be into it, and the games are going to have meaning once again.
Yep. Clemson will begin, Mark, with the Pinstripe Bowl, with the football, their offense. Ooh, drop by, looked like Adam Randall, the running back early on. So not a good look for the offense. They're going to have to punt it away on a 4th-and-3 first drive going back to Penn State. When it comes to the Military Bowl, it remains 3-0. ECU is up on Pitt. Pitt does have the football, though. They're working from their own territory with 3:58 to go in the first half. Right now, Pitt's laying 5.5 despite being down 3-0. That total's dropped all the way to 30.5. We've got 8 bowl games today. We'll preview all of them. We've got a full NBA card, the NHL, a lot to get to over the course of the next 3 hours, plus 2 big NFL games coming your way later tonight. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We're all over the action on Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Saturday rolls on. I'm Dustin Sweetelson from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. Mark Melusis alongside. We got you covered here in the early window of action on a Saturday in late December. Clemson had the ball first in the Pinstripe Bowl. They went for it on a fake punt in their own territory. The guy they threw it to didn't know the ball was coming his way. Now Penn State has the football. They're facing a 2nd-and-3 in plus territory. They have a chance to punch it in from the 9-yard line, and they are favored now, Mark, laying 3.5. Total's 47.5, but that field looks brutal right now. I wouldn't want to get tackled and have to land on that grass at Yankee Stadium. It looks like concrete at this point, but hey, your Penn State play looking good early goings here.
Early going, but think about that. Imagine like you're Clemson, you're working on a fake, you get the look you're looking for early on in the game, you call the fake and the guy doesn't realize it and basically doesn't turn around and doesn't catch the ball. Like, it's crazy. And Dabo, they got a picture of him on the sideline and he was completely and utterly ticked off. Yeah, I mean, this field looks terrible. It's a brownish, light green kind of a look. It looks painful to run in. It's brutally cold outside. And I'll tell you, Dustin, you're a Northeast guy. Yankee Stadium, when during a baseball season, if you get the wrong night, it can be cold. I can't imagine what that stadium is like now. There's nowhere to run. The wind whips through it. It's late December. It's early on a Saturday after you just had 8 inches of snow last night. It has got to be ungodly cold at Yankee Stadium right now.
And you know what? That probably should have been a bigger part of my handicap. Clemson doesn't play in games at this weather. They're not like, it's one thing I learned, like going from the Northeast, moving to the South to Atlanta when I was 18, 19 years old, is that there's a few differences. One, like the athletes in the South are a bit different in some ways, where I saw athletes I think I'm playing against NFL guys right now. It's just a random pickup game when I moved to Atlanta, but also the weather. And I know this from living in Vegas the last few years and living in LA prior to this. Your blood becomes thin. You're not used to dealing with the cold. And I think Penn State, because it's a lot of Northeast guys, they're used to playing there in Happy Valley. I think they're going to be able to maneuver a little bit better in the cold with the footing and everything that goes into it. And those Clemson guys trying to be tough guys, not wearing sleeves. I wonder if after halftime, they don't come out wearing some sleeves and some headgear and some other stuff to make sure they stay warm. Nittany Lions, though, with the ball on a 2nd-and-goal, their first possession of the game from the 4-yard line, stuffed for about two yard gain there. So we're looking at a third and goal situation for Penn State with a chance to take the lead in the Pinstripe Bowl. We're in a break, 2 minute warning. When it comes to the Military Bowl, ECU still up 3-0. Pitt though, lane 4.5. They have the football. Total is down to 29.5. I know you had, right before the show started, Mark, you were like, I got to turn this game off. I got to get off this game. It's a hate watch at this point. Now you're rooting for no points. You want no touchdown scored. You want it to end 3-0 when we're down to the 2 minute warning in the first half.
Well, this is one thing I do like about bowl season is that you get early college football. So I had it on in the house, right? And we had snow and dealing with, you know, shoveling out the cars and getting the cars ready and everything like that for the day before we got ready for the show this afternoon and everything and the like. And, you know, watching that game, it's like your eyes are bleeding. Like nobody, I like defense, Dustin. I do. But think about this. Like you're going through who's available, who's not available. The total before the game was 53. We're sitting here. It's 3-0. The total's now down to 29.5 for the game. And once this Penn State Clemson game got going, I was like, I got to flip over. I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah. It's this is wild. I thought Pitt would have something for ECU. I'll give the Pirates a lot of credit here. The defense has shown up. Pitt's down a few key guys, but they've got their quarterback, the freshman that started halfway or early in the year for Eli Holstein, who's been pretty good, but they're not able to move the ball against this ECU defense. Penn State did settle for a field goal. They're now up 3-0. They're laying 2.5, totals 46.5. You know what the strategy probably should have been in this game? Whoever's the underdog at any point in time, just take the points in them. This feels like it's like a 1 point, a 2 point game.
Yeah, you know what, Dustin, but that's a good hole for Clemson. You think about that. They go for it on a fake punt deep in their own end. Penn State drives down. They've got a first and goal starting at the 9 yard line, and the Clemson Tigers, bone their back up a little bit and are able to negate Penn State getting into the end zone. Like I would take it if I'm a Clemson backer, like that's a win. That defense was able to hold there and held them to a field goal.
Yeah, I think we're looking at a lot of field goals today. Neither team looks like it's going to be really dynamic moving the football. We've seen a couple of errant passes. We saw Penn State go a little bit more conservative, staying with the run, playing the field position game there. I think right now at 46.5, I think that under would make some sense just looking at the way these teams look dealing with the weather. The total opened 48.5. We closed 47.5. And right now in game, it's only 1 point off of that closing total at 46.5. I think the under does make sense there. We do have one more game that's going to kick off in our window. We don't even need to do a full preview right now, but UConn and Army. And I mean, Jim Mora leaving UConn, going to Colorado State of all places, I thought was odd, but Army. I'm sure with you and I both from the New York area up there in the Northeast, I spent a lot of time going to West Point as a kid. It wasn't far from where I grew up. Mikey Stadium on the Hudson River. Like, can you explain to a national audience why they need to go to an Army game on campus at West Point in Mikey Stadium? Because to me, I don't know if there's a campus in America that can compete.
Oh, I think it's first and foremost. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. Like you go up there, it's breathtakingly beautiful. And then you go out and first off, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to go to the game. There's beautiful sight lines. It's right on the water there. And I used to go to an Army game, Dustin, every year. We used to go pick a Saturday every single year, either early in the season or late in the season, you know, tailgate beforehand, walk to the stadium, walk to Mikey Stadium, everything like that. You got at some point in your life, you got to go visit West Point. Because you walk around, you feel the history of this country, you feel the men and women that are lucky and blessed enough, smart enough, athletic enough to be able to go there. And obviously the commitment that they make and our armed forces and everything like that. It's just, it's awesome. It really is. And I think it's, you know, you take your kids there when they're young, they get a feel of what America's all about. And you be able to go to a game up there and you get to see some good football. They've had some, you know, kind of lulls when you look at that program where they haven't been particularly good. But Dustin, you and I are one in agreement. I used to go there. I actually went to a baseball camp, Robin Roberts baseball camp for 2 weeks.
Yes.
I went up there for 2 weeks. They used to make you run to go to breakfast for 2 miles every day. I was like, this has nothing to do with hitting a baseball. But they used to wake you up at the crack of dawn and then you'd have to run 2 miles to go get your eggs.
All of my friends, my cousins, all went to that camp. I did not go for the reason that you just explained, Mark. I loved games. I was Allen Iverson before Allen Iverson. I hated practice. I hated them making me do things that had nothing to do with the sport. in baseball, how often am I running? And now granted, maybe it helps with a double play. Like you avoid a double play, turn it into a fielder's choice. But I did not like having to do all that. So I never went, but I heard great things. Pitt has the football and they're hoping to get on the board here. 93 seconds to go in the first half, but we'll see if they're able to do it. ECU still leads 3-0 in the Go Bowling Military Bowl. Can Cade Klubnik and company answer with Clemson? They're down 3-0 at the Pinstripe Bowl there in the Bronx. Their second possession after they gave the ball back in great field position to the Nittany Lions. That is coming your way here right now. But in the meantime, let me remind you that football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus save 50% site-wide when you shop omahasteaks.com/VSiN. From legendary steaks to crowd-pleasing appetizers, Omaha Steaks makes game day easy and delicious. Don't wait. Get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings to save 50% site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for more details. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the sports betting network. And just like that, Clemson's facing a third down already. I feel like they just got the football back 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, they got a third and two.
Third and two coming up for Klubnik and company. And, you know, they're without Wesco, who's been injured for a while. They also have Antonio Williams not available. He's planning, you know, to go to the draft. He's a stud guy, a yak guy. That meant who am I thinking? Who is the other receiver I was thinking about betting on? TJ Moore. TJ Moore, I thought I had a chance to go over his receiving prop. I don't know if he got that. I don't think he got
Randall
that.
Randall got stuffed. Yeah, no, he did not.
Randall
just got stuffed.
The converted wide receiver to running back, he's been pretty good, but this is not really his forte, this style of like 3 yards and a cloud of dust physical football. He's more of a dynamic. He's a big guy, but he's more of a dynamic runner. And now Clemson's going to have to punt it back from their own territory, not faking it this time. And they're going to kick it back to Penn State. And that's going to be fielded at the 31-yard line. So Penn State will begin their second possession up 3-0 from the 31. They're 2.5-point favorites. That total is 45.5. I think it's going to continue to drop. I might bet the under right now, Mark.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Just, and I know it's early, just through the first two Clemson possessions, Dustin, noticing here is their offensive line's got to get a bigger push up front. Penn State's winning the battle up front defensively, and that's going to be an issue. Maybe it has to do with the weather, the physicality. That's going to be something that's going to go out there and change. But yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you, especially with the guys that are out for Clemson, looking at the way that Penn State's defense is going to play and the fact that Clemson has got a pretty good defense. I would lean under in the game as well.
We also have 9 games in the NBA today. Justin Fenstermer will give you his best bets on the other side of Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and we got you covered here all day long. While we're away, the Pitt Panthers, a beautiful touchdown pass. Mason Heinschel goes, 26 yards to Malachi Thomas, and they are on the board up 7-3 with 4 seconds to go in the first half. They are laying 5. Ooh, I got to update this. It's not laying 5.5 anymore. They are 11.5-point favorites, and that total is 33.5. Penn State still leads Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl 3-0. They are facing a 3rd-and-25, however, offensively. They're 2.5-point favorites. Total is 40.5. During the break, I took an under 43.5 in the Pinstripe Bowl because both teams look absolutely miserable. I'm not miserable, whatever the opposite of miserable is, because our next guest is one of my favorite people in the world. He is Justin Fensterman, fantasyguru.com, hoops analyst at Fensty Sports on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line to preview a really interesting 9-game card in the association. So Fensty, let's get started, my friend, with the first game up on the board coming up at 5 p.m. Eastern. Dallas and Sacramento, Mavs are laying 3.5 on the road. 232.5 is the total. I'm on a PJ Washington prop, but what jumps out to you in this game?
Well, what jumps out first, and thanks, boys, for having me, is that whether or not Anthony Davis is going to be activated or not, and even when he is active, he's still going to go out at some point. That's what happens every time I invest in this guy. Mr. Glass, that's what he is. So we're all waiting on that. But Sacramento is ripe. Their defense stinks. They have a lot of me players. They don't play as a team. Think of every selfish player in the NBA, and about 55% of them are on the Sacramento Kings. However, I'll say this. You can get to Dallas on the glass a little bit. And I operate a lot with pace when it comes to rebound props. I know it's a little bit juiced up. It's about tinkering between minus 125 and minus 130. But even right now, knowing that Davis puts us in purgatory with his health status, Russell Westbrook is someone that we know can grab rebounds. And if they're going to be Sacramento on the run, which I'm expecting them to try to get Dallas with the speed, especially if Davis plays, they're not that quick of a team anyway, except for Cooper Flagg. I'm expecting them to be ripe on the board. So that's one I think we could sneak in now before everything changes once we find out whether or not Anthony Davis is playing.
Fancy, how about Nets and T-Wolves tonight in Minnesota? The T-Wolves 12.5-point favorites, total in the game 226.5.
Yeah, here's the thing with that, Moose, that I love attacking the Nets, but we actually just found out that Anthony Davis, and for all intents and purposes, Mike Conley, but Anthony Edwards is playing in this game. So that now leaves this game with big blowout potential. And so the one area where I start to look is when Anthony Edwards is playing, well, he might not be 100%. That can actually impact Naz Reid's potentials a lot here. And normally when he's out, you see Naz Reid have a more active role here. However, I've seen Naz Reid have success scoring against Brooklyn before. And also I've seen him be successful on the glass too. I've just seen his props go down in both points and his rebounds. So rather than thinking about whether or not I'd like to bet the PR, I'd rather take Naz Reid over 12.5 points, thinking that, yeah, Minnesota might go up, but still him with the second unit. I feel like he'll be able to get enough shots there. And because the Nets are just an awful shooting team, the rebounding potentials will be there. It's gone down to 5.5 for him. And I bet it the other night it worked. Even with Edwards playing now, we know he's not 100%. They don't even really need to heavily rely on him for this game. So that's why I'm still looking at Naz Reid props now that they've gone down.
Justin Fensterman is our guest, FantasyGuru.com, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio host as well, joining us on Live Bet Saturday. Let's go to the Bucks and Bulls. Chicago's laying 2.5, total's 232.5, but I believe, Fensty, expectation is Giannis is going to give it a go in this game. What do you make of this matchup here?
So with Giannis, I'm thinking at this point, Sweet, he's going to play. I attack, and we all should be attacking the Bulls at every cost. They forfeit. Sweet, our old intramural basketball team was more active on the glass, sadly, than the Chicago Bulls team. They actually stand around, too, and I see this every time I'm watching. They're just not moving. So even though Giannis might be playing, I'm seeing some low rebound props for some of these other Bucks guys. I've actually been rolling with Ryan Rollins the last few games because we've seen him rebound a little bit more. He's separated from Kevin Porter Jr. coming off the bench and running the offense. And I think in a game like this, with Giannis playing, it takes the usage away. So I'm not going to mess with the assist. I still think because the Bulls give up a lot on the glass, they play at a ridiculously fast pace. The pace benefits the Bucks big time here. Bulls coming off the back-to-back like Milwaukee is. Rollins, I'm liking his rebound prop, even with Giannis likely playing at over 3.5. And then this is someone who I normally don't trust, but we've seen him rebounding and the potentials have matched the production here. We've seen in double figures and we've seen him have success in this matchup before, even when Giannis is active. Kyle Kuzma over 4.5 rebounds. I love attacking the Bulls on the glass. They give up a lot of opponents. They operate at a quick pace and those teams that have a little size on them benefit big time seeing their ceilings rise. So even with Giannis in, guys, I know it's weird to say, I still see two overs here with Rollins over 3.5 boards, Kuzma over 4.5.
And Fensty, that rebounding marketplace is something you've been able to take advantage of throughout the course of the season. Take everyone through how you attack it.
Yeah, Smooth. I essentially am becoming the Dennis Rodman of NBA player prop betting because the rebounding market, I just understand it. Yes, it's true, boys. I watch a lot of basketball, and I'm watching for placement. And if you ask Dennis Rodman, he knows where the ball is going to bounce because he studies it. I'm not that good. But looking at the data, I see a lot of things matching up here. I want to take advantage of those teams that operate at lightning speed, because those other teams that move slower, like the Bucks, they're going to have more possessions than they normally would have on average. Then I go, okay, I look at shooting percentages. We know the Bulls can hit shots. But because of the fast-paced nature here, I know that Milwaukee will be able to take advantage of a team that gives up in the bottom 10, or top 10 rather, of rebounds to opponents. So once I see kind of those two dots line up, then I know the team is safe. Now, Giannis playing is going to impact all of these props, which is why we should probably wait to get the official announcement. Who knows? Maybe Kuzma lowers. I don't think the books would dare to do it, but they might give you all of a sudden plus money on that instead of what it is now. But that's why I look at guys like Rollins and Kuzma. When I look at rebound potential and I see Kuzma averaging about 12 in his last 10 games, on average, even when Giannis is playing, he has to get to 5 rebounds, less than 50% of the potentials. Dudes, it's math. And I'm not a mathlete. I'm more of an athlete kind of. But that's one that we can all add up and figure out.
Justin Festerman's with us, fantasyguru.com, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. A few things that need to be addressed here. One, Fensty, you referenced our intramural basketball team. I wouldn't know how he rebounded because I was the only person in the league to get ejected from 2 games. Okay. So I don't know how our team actually did. I just know I wasn't allowed in the building after I got ejected. Secondly, I have a rebound bet in Knicks Hawks. I know you don't have an official play, but you're not going to come on the show with Moose and me and not talk about our New York Knicks. Knicks are laying 6.5 in Atlanta, taking on the Hawks. Total's 240.5. I went rebound and assist over on Mikal Bridges with no Josh Hart here. What are your feelings about this one?
Okay, so here's the thing. I was looking at him before, and it's almost like, you know, you're going to be in a sweat. You're going to be schwitzing there, Swede.
Yes.
I'm telling you that much, because that's the price you pay when you bet Mikal Bridges. But you just said it. Josh Hart, who is a rebounding monster, is going to be out of there. That has to go some of these other players here. And I'm looking at it. Think about it like this. That's 15 potential rebounds that he averages that's currently on the table. Bridges is at about 8 over his last 5 games. But here's something that's interesting on the rebound side, Swede. He's at about a 59% chance to grab said rebound. And that's with Josh Hart in there. So that's going to bump up a little bit. So I think because you're facing Atlanta, it's going to operate at a nice swift pace. The Knicks are very slow. So just about every matchup's a pace boost, this one especially. They're going to go back and forth. I think, Swede, you're going to get the rebound protection that you're kind of looking at here for the assist. We also know with Josh Hart, who's going to operate the point a little bit with the second unit. You know Bridges is going to get some of that usage.
Mr. Fensterman, appreciate you doing this as always. Hope you and the family enjoy the rest of the holidays. And hopefully you stay safe tonight, our buddy Phil Backert's 40th birthday party. He's Justin Fensterman, fantasyguru.com, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. I will be praying for your liver tonight, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much, guys. Sweet, don't get kicked out of the gym again, okay?
Oh, it's not. Moose, I wish I could say that was a one-off, but since I was about 14 years old, I've been getting ejected out of sporting events. It's just an issue.
What was the strength of your basketball? What was the strength? A shooter, rebounder, a defender? What was your strength? Well, how would you break down your game, Dustin?
Dirty rebounding, because I'm not that tall, but I'm wide. So when guys would go off, they'd get elbows in the kidneys, and then they'd get angry, and then I'd act like I was innocent. Like, what do you mean I didn't do anything? Why are you coming after me? And then we trade dirty shots, and I would always take it to a level that it's not appropriate. And I do have a tendency when I get angry to punt the basketball across the court and make other people go pick it up. So it happened in
high
school.
Now I know why you got kicked out of games.
Yeah, no. It's not. I threw a helmet at an umpire one time. I started a 3-team hockey fight. Do you not understand? 3 teams. We had a team waiting to play come on the rink just to fight us after I was talking my stuff. All right, we'll talk more stuff because Clemson can't do anything right now in the Pinstripe Bowl. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. More Live Bet Saturday coming your way next.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Saturday. We've got two bowl games going on right now. One more to come here in our early window of action on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. At the half in the Military Bowl, Pitt with a 7-3 lead on ECU. They're laying 11.5, totals 32.5. I think I'd think about laying the 11.5 with Pitt, but at the same time, it's not like points have really been coming in that game, Mark. I still think 32.5 under that might be the play when it comes to the Military Bowl right now.
Yeah, unless something really, and we've seen it in the NFL, we've seen it in college football, where two halves look completely and utterly different. And maybe that touchdown scoring drive that I think they went 10 plays, 71 yards and 1:36 to close out that first half, scored that touchdown with 4 seconds to go in the opening half, did the Pitt Panthers to take the 7-3 halftime lead. Maybe, you know, the bow breaks for East Carolina, but with the way that this game has been played, you would imagine it's going to continue to be low scoring right now in the second half, unless something completely changes. So I'd agree with you that under 32.5.
And then I'm looking for player props, and smartly, I don't see any available in game, but Jakarian Turner for Pitt, he's got 9 carries for 72 yards. I anticipate a lot of running the football late in the year, the weather, you don't want to risk any big injuries with some of the explosives. As long as Pitt has the lead, I think they lean on the run game here and he keeps pounding the rock for them. I take that back. He's 11 for 82 on the ground with Pitt up 7-3 on ECU, laying 11.5 as of right now. When it comes to the Pinstripe Bowl, first quarter's come and gone. It's still 3-0. And it's Penn State with the lead. They're laying 3.5, totals 36.5. I don't know how either team's scoring. Every time I look up, Mark, it's a second and long, a third and long, and they're giving the ball back to the other team. And I don't anticipate with some of the guys not available on the offensive line for Penn State, some of the transfers or the guys planning for the draft for Clemson. I don't know if these offenses are built to operate as we were used to seeing them in the regular season. I went under 43.5 in game. The total's 36.5. I still think under 36.5 might be worth looking at here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you look at Penn State's got 3 first downs. Clemson's got 2 on the afternoon. Penn State is facing a 3rd and 6 right now, right around midfield. Klubnik's not been able to do all that much outside of getting Randall involved, running and catching the ball coming out of the backfield. The Nittany Lions did have a nice play that was negated by a holding penalty on their offensive line that went to their big tight end, number 87, that would have put the ball inside the Clemson 40-yard line. But then they were all of a sudden backed up and they were facing a 2nd and 25, a possession ago, and they eventually punted in that possession. So I wouldn't disagree with you. Clemson held them. They're going to be facing a 4th down and about 3.
Going for
inside
it.
Inside the Clemson. Yeah, maybe they do go for it. Maybe Terry Smith does go for it.
Are they going for it?
They didn't get it. They did not get it. They rushed to the line of scrimmage.
They threw a screen to the tight end.
He fell down.
He had it. Moosey had it. It was a really good play design, a screen to the tight end, and he just lost his footing. And I think that kind of goes in how we opened the show. It doesn't look like a field that you're going to be able to do much on offensively. It's a baseball field. And by the way, there's some way Hal Steinbrenner is going to spin zone this. We had to repair the field after the Pinstripe Bowl, so we can't afford Cody Bellinger anymore. I'm anticipating that coming for the New York Yankees at some point. But there's a flag on the play. Maybe it's on Clemson and Penn State will get the ball back, but let's see what they call. Ref is about to give it out right now, and I'm trying to read the lips. He hasn't pointed to either side, but it's Clemson football. Clemson gets the ball back, and they're right around midfield. And just like that, we're down to Penn State laying 1.5 and a total still at 36.5. I'd still go under. Clemson is not comfortable operating offensively right now. And that play right there, tight end has a chance to make a play with the ball in space, and he completely loses his footing. Outside of running the football, I don't see much happening in this game going forward.
No, and to be honest with you, he was going to try to cut to the inside. And if he just makes the catch and runs toward the sideline, he's going to gain the 3 yards for the first down. So ground gives way. All of a sudden now Clemson's got the ball right around midfield with a 1st and 10. We'll see what Klubnik can go out there and do. But it's been not much offense. I think right now you're looking at 53 yards of total offense for Penn State. And about 39 yards of total offense through the opening quarter for the Clemson Tigers. That's it.
Yeah, my Clemson bet, not completely dead yet. The under 43.5, I feel really good about at this point, as Cade Klubnik misses a receiver over the middle, and he had him, by the way. He had
he threw it 5 yards short.
You know, Moose, I didn't get everyone coming into the everyone was hyping up Cade Klubnik coming off of last year that he was a Heisman contender. Clemson was gonna win the ACC. And he was this veteran. And I didn't see it, because the year prior, if you went back and looked, he lost games in the fourth quarter for Clemson. Miami, I want to say Florida State and NC State, where they had a chance to win, and he couldn't make plays. When he's asked to have the burden of carrying the team, Clemson doesn't succeed. And I think we're kind of seeing that today as they face a 3rd and 5 now.
Yeah, Dustin, I'm with you. You know, and there was a lot of heat, a lot of burn around the Clemson Tigers before the start of this college football season, that this was going to be a huge bounce back season for Dabo Swinney. And I'm with you. Like, I looked at Klubnik and I thought he's a good college quarterback, but people were making him out to be that he was going to be this absolute superstar, and hasn't had that kind of season. And that kind of surprised me. I was like, well, listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, right? I'll admit I'm wrong if that indeed does transpire. I just didn't have that kind of belief, that kind of confidence in Cade Klubnik. And he didn't play particularly well. Penn State on 3rd down just got a big sack. Klubnik holding on to the football as he rolled out to left. So the Clemson Tigers, after getting the ball with a 1st and 10 right around midfield, they go backwards. They're going to be punting the ball back to Penn State.
Yep, Penn State with a big sack on that play, as you mentioned. And you know, coming into the year, these were the two teams we all were just sure were going to be in the playoff. It was the year that James Franklin gets over the hump. Well, he's going to have to get over the hump somewhere else. He's no longer the head coach at Penn State. And I'm just curious your thoughts as a guy up there in the Northeast, where Penn State's name still matters, the Matt Campbell hire. There's split. People are very split when it comes to Matt Campbell. I think he's a decent coach. I think he's a pretty good coach who's able to get more out of less. People act like Iowa State is this job where you have a lot to work with. It's not easy to get people to go to Ames. He had success at Toledo and the Division III ranks before that. I think Penn State, they may regret the Franklin firing, but in the end, Matt Campbell has a chance to I think, be successful up there in Happy Valley.
Yeah, I do. And listen, I think Franklin did a nice job at Penn State. The problem is, at some point in time, you got to beat teams in the top 10, right? You want to win a national championship, but you know, it only goes on so long. Just like if you're at Ohio State and you're Ryan Day, it's great to win national championships, but you can't lose to Michigan each and every year. And that's why that was a huge victory for them. I look at Campbell, Dustin, listen, he's got it. There have been teams that have flirted with Matt Campbell. Like, if you think about college coaches, that there are NFL teams that say, well, this guy could transition to the National Football League. Campbell's a guy that has been on that list in years gone by. Now, the question I have is, how much money does he have to play with in an NIL world at Penn State? And he's got more money at Penn State than he does at Iowa State, right? So if I think he can coach college football, and when you look at the transfer portal and you look at the fact of Penn State's going to be very, very aggressive, he's going to have money to play with. And that's really what it comes down to now. Now it's up to him, his staff, obviously the GM of Penn State, to be able to target the players that they want to bring into that program. Do I think he can win? Absolutely. But in today's day and age, it's also about how much money you have to spend when it comes to bringing players into the program as well.
No. Oh, totally. And when it comes to that whole situation, I'm not sure that Penn State, LSU, and Florida, I understand why those jobs mattered in the past, because they had more resources than everyone else. They had a great recruiting pool. I think it's a little bit harder to win at those spots now. You have so many hands in the cookie jar that want to tell you how to do your business, want to tell you how to coach, who should be playing, who shouldn't be playing, how to handle the transfer portal and where the money's allocated. I think Kurt Cignetti might have blown this whole thing open. Find a coach who knows what he's doing. If you're a program that hasn't won before, give him complete and total control. Let him write the checks, find the players, and do it his way and show you how to win. I think it's hard to win at Penn State. I think James Franklin, in retrospect, while I wasn't a big Franklin guy the last few years at Penn State because of everything you mentioned with not being able to win the big games, I think he actually has a chance to be really successful down there at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I like Franklin as a coach, but with those expectations, and there came a point in time where you got to win some of those games. And listen, there's something to be said. Like if you're the head coach at LSU, or you're the head coach at Alabama, or you're the head coach at Georgia, like some of these, you know, preeminent kind of blue blood programs when you think about college football. And I get that. And you want to try and win in the biggest arena on the biggest stage at those kind of programs. But you can win anywhere. And you brought up Cignetti at Indiana. I mean, you really can. If you do it the right way, if you have the backing and you have the financial wherewithal, you don't necessarily have to be at LSU, or you don't have to be at Michigan or Ohio State to win. You can win anywhere across the country as long as you're one of those Power Four conferences.
Absolutely. We're winning all day here at VSiN. VSiN is live all New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. We've got live programming beginning. VSiN by the book, 7 a.m., rolling through a numbers game, prop points, money moves, through me at night on Cashing Out. Spend your new year with VSiN, the nonstop home for sports bettors, right here on the Sports Betting Network.